Hey Mark here. People really enjoyed the Event Horizon episode that I re-released, so I figured I would go back into our catalog and find another episode that I'd love to share with you. This episode is about Total Recall. It's one of our most popular episodes, and it features Norbert Morvan and I talking about this movie in 1990. It's a wonderful discussion, and it introduces Norbert's Keith David impersonation, I believe. I think this is the first episode where he unleashes his Keith David, and it's wonderful. I'm a big Paul Verhoeven fan, and I think if you are, you know, just a fan of sci-fi films that hit above their weight and are quite interesting, and you're a fan of Keith David impersonations, I think you're going to love this episode. So yeah, give it a listen if you haven't already. Thanks. Welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a man who always makes it home in time for cornflakes. It's Norbert Morvan.
Yes, sir. Hey. How you doing, brother?
Good. I mean, so wherever you're at, even when I was out there with you, you know, working in Korea, you always went home in time for cornflakes. I always wondered why you would go home for cornflakes, but it's from Cohagen, from this movie.
Exactly. So now you realize
you based your life on this philosophy and no one understood it and you never told us. But now I know and I feel terrible because we would just make fun of you.
That's right, man. You see, you got to understand, first of all, cornflakes are part of a complete breakfast. They always have been. They always will be, you know. And second of all, the fact that you can do XYZ and be at home in time for cornflakes means you're so good at it. It's effortless. It's nothing. I am a Terminator. I'm a murderer. I will get this done. And oh, look, my cornflakes are not only ready, but they're not soggy. You know what I'm saying? They are at the perfect peak moisture level for enough crunch.
You timed
That's how
it.
Good I am.
You timed it perfectly.
There it is. There it is, brother. There it is.
Now, how are cornflakes getting to Mars?
I mean, you can't even get oxygen on Mars, right? So how are we getting cornflakes? It's a fascinating.
I did see that there were product placement. There was like Best Westerns, there was Marriott's, there was Pepsi. But that's shipped to Mars.
Well, you figure the Best Western, you know, they assemble it a brick at a time, like a medieval castle that's been ordered by a rich person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But literally, you never do see anyone with the cornflakes, you know? They got that magic wand that turns your fingernails from red to purple, but no cornflakes. I haven't even seen anybody with milk.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Especially on Mars. Milk is not getting to Mars, Norbert.
No, it's not. No cows, you know? We got people with four eyes? Check. Milk? I'll get back to you on that.
Because you got to ship a bunch of cows to Mars. And then they probably get irradiated milk.
And then the milk, you know, now cow with seven legs.
Oh. Ooh.
A two-headed cow wouldn't even be bugged out on Mars. 42, you know, you have to go...
Yeah. Yeah, 42 udders.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have to go levels above two-headed cow.
Yep.
No, cow that plays Kind of Blue by Miles Davis. Oh, that's a crazy cow.
Now, you know, according to a lot of the documentaries I've listened to and articles about this movie, Cronenberg was the one responsible for the mutants, which makes a lot of sense.
Dude, since Rick and Morty made Cronenberg into a noun, verb, and adjective, Yeah, you look back at this movie and just Cronenberg-style body horror stuff is all over this film, man. I mean, not just, you know, our woman with the three breasts, which, you know, thank God I was a child in 1990 for that.
Yep.
But, you know, the typical Arnold Schwarzenegger murders with one hand and two fingers, you know, they're gory. There's some gory death in this movie, man.
Well, that same woman gets shot in the back, just murdered.
Yes. And the midget with the midget. I'm sorry.
The
what
actress.
What do we say these days?
The actress.
The actress. Yes. Yes. Oh my God. That was amazing. She just stabs a guy in the balls with a. Oh my God. That scared me.
That henchman that rolled with Ironside He was an interesting guy.
Yes. The one with the glasses, right? And the blonde hair.
Yeah, there's this scene where Arnold, we're gonna jump. If you've listened to this pod, you've watched Total Recall, but there's a scene where Arnold kills Sharon Stone. Consider this a divorce. Great line.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So quotable.
And they run in, and the guy just runs in, puts his gun up, looks around, and then just sprints away. And he made some decisions that I love in this movie. And I haven't watched this movie in years. I think I watched it when I was a kid, and I didn't really understand the whole Total Recall about how he might be in his head and he might be an agent. I never understood any of that. I just remembered really, like, for 90, these were, like you said, violent murder, just
Right.
Arnold saying things, gun violence, mutants. It was kind of
Right.
terrifying to watch as a kid.
Man, look, I mean, somewhere when Harry, not Harry, Harry, somewhere where
Harry.
Harry when Harry turns on him in the subway station, which I found out that was in Mexico, by the way. That's why it looks so awesome.
Yeah, they filmed the whole they, you know, they painted that train area where I guess they were in a subway. They painted the entire train station. So even when they like went on location, they painted everything to make it look futuristic.
It's awesome. So when Harry betrays him in that scene, Schwarzenegger kills a guy by perfectly doing a horizontal karate chop to the bridge of his nose. And he just dies. He just, I mean, who does that? Who does that? That's wow. It's beyond Five Finger Death Punch here.
He turned his head into jello with a karate chop.
And that's why henchman with the glasses, and he was very sardonic, that guy too. I love him. That's why henchman with the glasses, he said, "You know what? I got things to do, man. I'm going to return these videotapes." You know what I'm saying? He just took off. He just took off, man.
I love that in the movie, what Ironside and Sharon Stone were a couple, and she was doing undercover work, watching Arnold, aka, wait, what? I mean, I need to, what, his name in this movie was Quaid. So
Doug.
she's watching Quaid because Quaid is best friends with Cohagen. So Cohagen,
You're saying she liked it?
yeah,
Huh?
and
You're saying she liked
yeah,
it?
the henchman was like, dude, she was loving it, and he said that to his boss.
Yes. That guy's awesome, man. Cocky dude. Cocky dude. RIP, by
I want
the way.
a 90s henchman like him on my squad.
You have to, you know, because he's gonna call you to account, and at the same time follows orders, you know.
And he just
That's the
wants to
kind of man
kill.
he does. He does. He's a sociopath, but he's got feelings, you know what I'm saying? And opinions, you know, and he's not afraid to share them.
You know what the
These
problem
are the kind
is?
of
You know what
What's
the
up?
problem is? Sorry to start to interrupt you.
No, go for it.
The problem with a henchman like this is, so you and I are henchmen, Norbert, and
How you doing?
we've been in this company for years, but we're still henchmen, but we're trusted henchmen. So we're
That's what it
with
is.
the main villain all the time, right? Or the right hand villain all the time. So
Exactly. Exactly.
we spend lots of time in cars, shooting people, all this stuff, but we're
This is
still
great.
henchmen. So even if we make a comment, they can just look at us and be like, "You're just a henchman."
That's right.
Does that make sense?
I do feel, however, that this guy, again, his name, I still can't remember it for the life of me, but absolutely, this guy, you know what? It took a lot of balls for him when Ironside goes, "You saying she liked it?" He's, "Oh, no. I bet she hated every minute of it." And give him a dry smile. That takes balls, man. That takes balls. He's beyond just your hench. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
He's beyond
you're
hench.
right. He has no longer has hench in it. He's more of an associate.
You could damn near bump him up to acquaintance level.
That's our
Because if
goal.
you this is what it is. You look at the history of henchmen in movies and comics and film, you know. If you're a henchman for Dr. Claw, you know, he might drop a safe on you, whatever, you know. But you're a henchman for Ironside, you know, you get some benefits. You know what I'm saying? He's gonna throw a chick or two your way, you know what I'm saying? When he starts getting bonuses off the Tribinium mines down there on Mars, you know, he's gonna break you off a chunk, man.
Yeah, you see some of it. You get good vacations, good
Yeah, you know what I'm
weapons.
saying? You get points on the back end, 2 points on the vig, all of that stuff is yours.
And he felt really comfortable in his skin, this henchman. So he's not, you can tell around Ironside, he's not worried about who he is.
This is what it is, man. This is what it is, you know? Now, in terms of henchmen who absolutely would disrespect you and not give a damn about it, Destro. You know what I'm saying? Destro. Because Destro, look, Cobra Commander, we have to do this to kill the Jones. Cobra Commander, you are an idiot. And boom. He will just tell him straight up, you know, you're a fucking jerk, Cobra Commander. You know, you can take that plan and just shove it.
They had a thing. Like, they had a good working relationship, G.I. Joe, in that, Cobra Commander and Destro.
Look, Destro had zero respect for Cobra Commander, and it just oozed out of every time. We will meet the Joes on Ellis Island, Cobra! And Destro would look at the Baroness first and be like, yeah, this guy. Okay, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Every episode.
So everyone follows Destro. They, like, Cobra Commander makes the order, and then Destro looks at everyone and goes, okay, let's go.
Basically, yeah, yeah. Like that scene from Jurassic Park 2. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, brother. But in this world, no one ever gets shot. So I guess the people don't rebel against him too much because they're always missing.
That's right. Yeah. Stormtrooper aim all day.
You want to hear an interesting tidbit about this movie?
Break it down.
So, you know, I'm sure you did all the research, but, you know, Dino De Laurentiis was going to make this in Australia with Cronenberg. Uh-huh. Cronenberg backed out, and they had cast Patrick Swayze, and they were going to shoot in Australia, and then they shut it down. Uh-huh. Arnold Schwarzenegger gets a phone call, right? And he hears about the movie breaking down, so he calls Dino, and he goes, Dino, give me the movie. So then he calls Arnold Schwarzenegger calls the folks at Carolco, and hours later, they own Total Recall. And in the book or the short story by Philip K. Dick, he was an accountant, but they immediately switched it to a construction worker, which I kind of love for Arnold, which makes sense. Yeah. But this move, Arnold, you know, Arnold wanted to make this for a very long time, but Dino De Laurentiis wouldn't make it with him. And then Arnold bought it appeared in it.
I wonder why. So we're going to cast Arnold as an accountant over here. You know what I'm saying? No, not really. You know, we needed that kind of logic for Denise Richards as Christmas Jones. You know what I'm saying? I'm a nuclear scientist. Okay.
Yeah, that was, you know, in those roles, her role takes away from how good Sophie Marceau is in that film, The World Is Not Enough. She's really good in that.
Yes, she really is.
And then, but everyone talks about Denise Richards in it.
Because she's such a train wreck as an actress.
But
God, you know?
I thought that was pretty interesting, though, that Arnold wanted this for so long. And then he handpicked Paul Verhoeven. He called him up and said, hey, Paul, remember when we met in that restaurant? I told you RoboCop was great. And he's like, well, you're making this movie for me. And
that's all.
Yeah, they went down to Mexico City. Everyone got sick. The movie went over budget. And every time Verhoeven said, hey, we need more money, Arnold just said, got his back 100%. So the studio just went, okay, I guess we'll give you more money. So anything Verhoeven wanted, Arnold just went, do it.
100%. Well, this is 1990. So Predator's out.
Yep.
Terminator's out. Mm-hmm. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger's just printed Commando.
Yep.
You know, all of these movies made big bank at the time. You know, this is before movies had to make $500 million to be profitable. So all the Schwarzenegger's movies are at least making double the investment. So they believe in him, man.
It's pretty interesting. The fall of the very burly 80s action stars. So this was 90, right? And then in 92, you had what? Demolition Man and Cliffhanger around that time.
Right.
But around 94, I mean, True Lies was massive for Arnold. But that was a different type of Arnold. That was dad, husband Arnold. But then there was also The Specialist, which didn't do well. And then after 94, you know, you had that really bad showdown in Little Tokyo. JCVD started making Street Fighter. Then Eraser came out. And
Crocodile.
Yep, your luggage. But it was interesting how the heyday, like once they got to the heyday, it did not last that long, if you think about it.
You know what it is? I mean, God bless these movies, but they're not really smart. Mm-mm. You turn them on and it's just, this is just turning off your brain. You're not looking for plot holes. You know, these movies couldn't have existed today with social media breaking down every 3 seconds of the film and talking about the special effects and all of that. I mean, did you see Cobra? You saw Cobra, right?
Of course, Cobra? Oh, that wouldn't exist.
Okay. You know, you're the disease and I'm the cure. Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Everybody would just laugh at that. But when that movie came out, yes! Shoot drug dealers in the face. What do you mean treatment? You know what I mean? You can't do this anymore, basically. So many of these things.
I think speed too with Keanu's performance as an action hero who wasn't super burly being successful and also swung things. Exactly. Does that make sense?
Exactly. No, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. He definitely seemed smarter than every Schwarzenegger and Stallone character at the time. Yeah. For sure. That was a relatively smart premise. Go ahead, buddy.
Brilliant premise, isn't it? Just imagine if someone said that to you and you're an executive. Make it now. Make this movie now. Yeah.
Okay, the bus is going to blow up if it drops below 55 miles an hour and it's on the LA freeway. What? Take my money, please.
We're starting production tomorrow.
Yesterday. Let's get this done.
Do you want to hear something funny? That'd be funny if you said no. So I wanted to get a little bit more in this movie. So I have a pretty big commute when I go to work. Sometimes it can get over 2 hours. And it's been good, though, because it's summer now. So a lot of the traffic's really cleared up. But
awesome.
I listened to Total Recall. So I put it on and I put on the Bluetooth and I just listened to the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And I just listening to it, I loved Arnold's sardonic sarcasm wit.
Yeah.
So there's a couple weird line readings, but for the most part, if you just listen to the movie, you wouldn't think he's good in Total Recall, though.
No,
he's very good.
There's the dialogue in this movie is crackling, you know, and I think this is the movie that really cements him as pun guy, you know.
Oh gosh.
My favorite line in Predator, you know, is when he just hits the guy with the 4-foot machete and stick around. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, you know, get to the chopper. People started realizing, okay, let's just make him say imperatives, you know. He's just telling you to do it and you will, you know. So get your ass to Mars. I mean, that's amazing. Oh, that's you know, so my band, my band here in Korea, we made a song, Get Your Ass to Mars. Because that's so amazing. I would have this man just read ingredients from a can of peas to me right now. High fructose corn syrup, polysorbic acid.
Screw you. And then I like when that one guy comes up to him, and why are you showing your face around here? Look who's talking. And then I loved the line, see you at the party, Richter. Because that's...
See you at the party, Richter! My God.
You have to have watched the movie to... The reason it works so well is because you have to remember a conversation, an unimportant conversation from earlier in the film.
Exactly.
And I think the best is she sees him after a long time and she's like, what have they been feeding you? And he goes, blondes.
Blondes.
Isn't that awesome?
Look, the thing about it is every Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, they usually try to figure out a way to explain his accent, you know. The same with Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know. I think it was Kickboxer, you know.
He's French and everything, right?
Why does he talk like that? Well, he was born in America, but he was raised in France.
Yep.
But this movie, they don't bother explaining his accent at all. You know, they figure, okay, let's take away from his haltingly distracted accent with just I don't know, violence. Oh, and let's get some boobs in here. You know, no, two boobs is not enough. Let's get three on a chick. You know what I mean? Hey, we'll put some kids in there and let's just screw up their faces, man. Hey, how about that little girl with the old man's eye? What accent? Look at what we got going on here. You know what I mean?
And what's this wholesale murder of groups of people?
Yeah. I mean, you got Michael Ironside and his awesome henchmen. They just run around in public gunning people down.
Innocent people getting shot.
Yeah. They do it on Earth. They do it on Mars. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? This movie is amazing.
I was listening to some fun stuff, and you know all the chase scenes. So when they're in the taxi cabs driving around through the tunnels, they only had 30 yards of tunnels. So they had to keep, they would drive 30 yards and back it up, and then get it up to speed, then shoot it, then back it up. And then back it up and then get it up to speed. Isn't that amazing?
Dude, I just love practical effects, man. Because if that was done today, you know, you would clearly see the outlines of the guys in front of the green screen. And it's so great.
Do you know
there was that scene. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go for it.
I was going to say, there was that scene in Total Recall, up Total Recall, jeez, The Running Man, where they take that turbo sled to get to the area of killing, and there's a mirror, when the sled comes towards the mirror, but it's one shot and it goes boom boom in out, and you can tell it's a mirror, but it's awesome. It's awesome. It's no CGI.
Yeah, I love in-camera effects. The guy who did the special effects for this, Rob
Botin.
Botin,
I
RoboCop
think it's both.
7. Yeah, you're right, Botin.
The thing and the thing.
The Thing. I mean, The Thing, he did, like, he worked on New Hope, Fog, Halloween, Legend. Legend's a beautiful to look at movie. It's super dour, but it's beautiful to look at. But I love The
Yes.
Thing. I don't think The Thing has aged. You watch
No,
it,
it hasn't.
it's terrifying still.
It's an awesome movie. It's so atmospheric. It is dark. And then you get my man Keith Bloodclaat David holding it down. Well, what makes you think we should trust you? Huh? I think we should, and I think we should shoot everybody. I don't trust you at all. All of you are, you probably all got the fucking thing inside of you. Let's get out of here.
He
My man.
is the
I'm
most
sorry.
underrated actor, man. Between that, what, there's something about Mary. He was
Oh
in a
my God.
show called
He's.
Enlisted. He just done a bunch of voice work. He, I mean, other movies. I love that dude. Keith David's the best.
And as our all-time favorite buddy flick, They Live,
Oh yeah, what a great fight.
They
It
put you at
looked.
the starting line. And they tell you to make your way through life, But I'm gonna get what I want, and I'm gonna try to take it from you.
Man, this I need to just hire you to do my ringtone or something like this in Keith David's voice.
I love Keith David, man. I've loved him in everything. Yeah, there's nothing. Keith. Oh,
I want
again.
you to record going, Mark's phone is ringing. Pick up your phone.
Hey, you just reached Mark Hoffmeyer, but he's not here right now. So leave a goddamn message, you son of a bitch. There you go.
You know what, my voicemail for years, and we're talking years, and it's obnoxious, but hi, you've reached Mark Hoffmeyer's cell phone. Mark Hoffmeyer's not here right now, but when Mark Hoffmeyer gets back, Mark Hoffmeyer will call you back. So that was about
Oh God.
5 years of that.
Third person jerk. Oh my God. Oh my God. People who refer to themselves in the third person, you just want to put poison in their coffee. Oh my God. It's
By
hilarious.
the third time, because texting wasn't too huge yet in the early 2000s, so people would just be like, Mark, I had to listen to that stupid message again. But no, Quato, they were talking about Quato, and people actually asked questions if those were a real actor portraying Quato.
Rob Bottin. There it
Isn't
is.
that is one of
Work.
the it's a Cronenbergian beautiful effect as far as practical
In
effects
fact,
go. I mean, I'd say what Rancor from Return of the Jedi, eating the Gamorrean
Oh, yeah.
nard. There's a
That's right.
Vice documentary about the making of that scene.
Oh, that's probably awesome.
Yeah,
With all talking about the Harryhausen style, the stop motion animation and all that.
it's amazing. So that Quato, the Thing, that's
Yeah.
some of the best practical effects I think I've ever seen.
It's so gross. It doesn't look like they just glued it on him or anything. It never looks fake to this
Never.
day. In 1990, you watch this thing on an HD TV and it does not look fake. It looks like he's just got this tumor. And oh, by the way, his name's Quato. What's up? How you doing? He'll even shake your hand with his little gross digit. Oh my God. I mean, what do you think? Does Quato need to moisturize? How does he keep that gooey appearance?
Yeah, he's
And still look
so
so fresh?
gooey, so gooey.
Oh,
Oh, someone made a
my
point the
God.
other day saying that 90s blockbusters were very gooey. Godzilla,
Yeah, they were.
Independence
They were.
Day. There's a lot of goo in the 90s.
Well, you're back in the day, you go to any kid's shop and you literally just had slime. Slime
Yeah.
was a toy. Slime.
Home Alone
Oh, what's
2.
this? Slime. Yeah, Home Alone 2. Yeah,
Harry and
slime.
Marv
What
slipped
do you
on
do with it?
that. What did you do? Did you ever buy
It's just
slime?
sticky.
Did you ever
You know what you
own
buy? You
what?
buy Silly Putty.
Oh, yeah.
Silly Putty was always better than because for the younger listeners out there used to be these things that gave us information that were made out of trees, and they were called newspapers. And a newspaper would be printed with this stuff that we call ink, but not like printer ink on your laser jet. This ink was dirty and it was easily removed. So you take the Silly Putty and boom, stick it on the comic of the Family Circus, peel it off, And Bob's your uncle. You got the family circus on your silly putty. That was awesome.
Oh, I never did that. I read a lot of Calvin and Hobbes, so I never did that.
Yeah.
And speaking of newspaper.
You know, I mean, the family circus. Yeah.
You're a family circus guy?
No, not at all. I was going to say the only use for the family circus was to take it off with your silly putty. It wasn't funny.
Oh, you know? Okay. Got it.
Wasn't. It just, God. Whew. If you know what? That should be a test to see, you know, who's human and who's alien. You know, did you like the family circus? Yes. Murder that person. It's not funny.
That was just the circle, right? It was just one frame?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It'd be the circle, two kids playing basketball, and he goes, great jump shot, Billy. That's the caption. That's it. Really? You made off of this? Wow.
I mean, you got to post one every day, right?
I feel like Family Circus was more of a weekend. It would be on Sunday in the Sunday paper.
Didn't they do a bigger Family Circus on the Sunday?
I hope to God not.
I was all about Dilbert, yes. Dilbert, Farside, and Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, man. The Sunday paper would be in color, the Daily News and Newsday in the New York Times. I'm from New York, everybody. Nice to meet you. And you would buy one of each to just read all these comics. I mean, and it would be maybe 2 pounds of just dead tree that you're just walking around with. It was amazing. God.
You know, there are copies of Mars Today at Mars. Did you see that?
What?
There were Mars Today.
What are you saying?
There's a newspaper this movie, Mars Today.
That's right. That's right.
And the production designer, he worked on Deep Blue Sea and Master and Commander, which I think are beautiful to look at movies.
Look, I don't know much about Master and Commander, but I will watch Deep Blue Sea once a month, man. You know,
he did mess up big time. He put linoleum floors in and they flooded the facility and the actors just slipped everywhere.
Yeah. And then also, you know, if you don't seal up that linoleum right, the water will get underneath, man.
So I learned that in the commentary. Yep, Rennie Harlan was complaining about it.
Rennie Harlan's complaining still that nobody went to see the Christmas movie. Well, they're all Christmas movies.
Die Hard
2? The Long Kiss Goodnight.
Oh, I love that movie.
That movie's epic too, you know?
Gina Davis, dude, League of Their Own, that one, she was awesome.
Yeah. She, unlike Denise Richards, was not only gorgeous, but a great actress. And it's a shame that she has no hardware. You know what I mean? It's a shame.
Yeah, I think Cutthroat Island, then she was a president in a TV show for a while. Oh, she was in Beetlejuice. She has a good CV.
She's got a good run of flicks, man. She was the girlfriend in The Fly, you know?
Oh, yeah.
She was a girlfriend in The Fly. She was a reporter in another movie, like Fletch. She was a sidekick in Fletch. You know, the one woman he couldn't have but secretly always wanted.
And League of Their Own.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, man. So Total Recall, huh?
Yeah. No, but I was looking through this you know, the cast, and the cinematographer is Joss Fakado. He shot Das Boot. He won an Oscar for that, nominated for an Oscar. He also did RoboCop, Showgirls, Starship Troopers. So he's Paul's guy. I mean, this cast, I mean, between Rob Boutine, William Sandell, Joss Fakado, I mean, Philip K. Dick, I mean, the guy did what? Blade Runner, Scanner Darkly, Minority Report, Adjustment Bureau, Next, Paycheck, Imposter, Screamers. This movie, I think we can joke around about it and just say, hey, it's Total Recall, but it's a successful movie. I think Verhoeven knew what he was doing, and 100%. It works.
100%. Every Verhoeven movie is some kind of commentary on society. This one and RoboCop, those two are about just how big business just doesn't give a shit about people.
Nope.
You know, I mean, for Christ's sake, man, in RoboCop, it was to the point where OCP decided, hey, you know what? Let's just put rookie police officers in really dangerous neighborhoods so that hopefully one of them will get killed. And then we can use his body to make RoboCop. It's like, really? Jesus Christ. Let's force the police to go on strike so that when the town goes insane, we can buy it after it goes bankrupt. It's like, really? Wow. And now this movie, they take it to the logical extreme, which is, hey, you know, people kind of need air to breathe. Let's charge him for it. How about that? It's just dark, man.
And then you have the fascist government of what, Starship Troopers and that imagery. And then you have Hollow Man, which is just a bad movie.
Hollow Man, you know what? Re-examine Hollow Man in 2019. Toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Oh, big time. I watched it and I just, maybe that's what he was going for, but it's Kevin Bacon is so unlikable.
Creepy.
And
yeah, that's
and, yeah, he immediately goes invisible to attacking people.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. What would you do? Oh, well, I'm going to go rape my neighbor. Really, Kevin Bacon? Wow.
Yeah, there's no switch on him. No one chastises him. He just goes, all right. it's a weird.
Yeah, you know, they kind of tease, you know, well, the monkey's going insane because it's invisible. So maybe going invisible makes you crazy. You know, the dog goes insane when it's invisible. So maybe it makes you crazy. And then, oh, you know, let's just extrapolate that to it turns you into a rapist. It's like, what? Oh, geez.
That is a
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Verhoeven, he pushes buttons. And he was talking about the violence. He was talking about the violence in this movie. And he said, I just look at it as another day. Everyone was talking about how brutal it is, 60 deaths. But he's like, I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. If you look at his career in the Netherlands, of all places, where they just let stuff happen, you know, you can buy heroin in the Netherlands. His movies were too crazy for the Netherlands. You know, they were like, you know what? We're going to stop giving you government funding because you're psycho, Verhoeven. So, you know, alsjeblieft. That means please in Dutch. Alsjeblieft. Get out of here. You know, it's like, hey, Paul, you're a psycho, dude. We can't give you money for these movies.
Going movies in the States with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then he goes and makes a movie with Arnold.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the only Verhoeven movie that doesn't really, I don't know what the message of Showgirls is. I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it's in there somewhere.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think the message was just, let's see how much money we need to give Elizabeth Berkley so she'll just be naked all the time. I feel bad.
I feel bad, though, because the actors trusted him so much on that film.
Yeah.
I think in their mind, they were thinking, I am on a Verhoeven set. This guy has made Basic Instinct, RoboCop. Yeah. He's made Total Recall. His movies have been box office successes, so I'm just going to trust everything he says. And then the movie comes out. And
it's just a fart in the wind. You know, it's just a turd in the punch bowl.
We're talking about a massive one, though. It got a lot of press for being horrible.
Yeah.
People just dogpiled on it.
That's right. And it's not one of those so bad it's good movies where you go back and watch it and, oh, I get it. It's just not, it's not a good movie. You know what it is? It was what, 96 or 97?
Yep.
So internet porn was still dial up, 56K modem. So he was just like, let's just make internet porn in a movie because the internet doesn't exist. That's what it was.
It got the dreaded NC-17.
Yes.
And it just,
yeah.
Yeah. But I think it kind of caught up to him. I think the times, well, no, actually, no, he just made L, which is brilliant. And he made Black Book, which is very good.
Yeah.
I mean, he went back overseas.
Yeah. No, he's a great director. It's just that movie was not good. It was not good.
I feel like I watch it.
Wasn't there?
What's up?
I was going to say, wasn't there the episode where she's Jessie in Saved by the Bell and she starts taking uppers and she starts singing a song and it's crazy? I think he just saw that and said, we should make a 2-hour movie of this.
Wait, she took uppers? I mixed that up with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air episode where he was taking uppers. No, Carlton was taking uppers.
A lot of very special episodes, man. It's easy to get them mixed up.
One of the greatest lines of TGIF history or whenever that aired was, I think Carlton or the Fresh Prince were in the hospital and Hillary looked at their IV bag and she was like, oh, we got to get rid of this. I'm going to get you some Evian. That's a good line. And she potatoed a car and put a key in the muffler.
Of course she did. Of course she did. That girl was blissfully of the 1%, man. She didn't know anything. How much does milk cost? $20? You know, she's one of those people.
Hey, so how about this? Let's take a break. Let's get our mind back on Total Recall, and then we'll forget it, and then we'll go on talking about other things when we get back. How's that sound?
Hey, you lead, I follow, baby. Let's go.
All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. And Norbert, what were we talking about?
Well, I believe it's a little film that we like to call Total Recall, my friend.
Now, Quaid, he loved Benny, didn't he? Every time that they were running, Benny, come on! Benny! Benny! Let's go! Benny!
Benny's a family man, just like him. Or so he thought.
I love the character. So in my childhood, I love that scene where he took off his hand and that alien hand came out. For 90, that's unbelievable. Unbelievable effect at the time. And you know what's interesting? In the original script, they didn't have any outside shots of Mars. And one of the producers was like, Paul, we need to have this shot. So I guess they did this three-part composite of miniatures and matte paintings, and it was incredibly intricate. But it made a good point, because you get to see the exteriors of that. But I love that that was a Herculean task to show Mars with the special effects. Yeah, I thought that was pretty unbelievable.
Really alien world, man. So much red, you know, it tinges everything. And you need that.
And eyeballs bulging out.
Oh, my God. And then going back in your head.
Yeah, your face expands by triple, and then you just go cool again. You're like, all right, I'm fine. You're the writer for Total Recall, right? And the whole time, Benny keeps saying, I got five kids, I got five kids, I got five kids, I got five kids. And then when he goes, I have four kids, how pleased are you with that movie-long gag?
Such a great callback. One of the all-time movie callbacks. Because he says it so casually. And if you've been paying attention, you just, wait a minute. Oh, shit. Benny is down with Cohagen, too? Oh, my God. Because he doesn't seem like a bad guy.
Nope.
He plays it really well. He undersells this evil that's lurking in his background. And it's so great.
This movie, Ron Shusett, he also wrote Alien, Aliens, Free Jack. Dan O'Banion, he did Alien, Aliens, Dark Star, and Life Force. And then Gary Goldman, who did Big Trouble in Little China, the touch-ups on that. So, and then between Verhoeven, who, he's a smart man. This movie, I don't know if you remember it, but I guess you had all the callbacks, five kids, four kids. And then you had, See You at the Party. And at the end, this movie had a genuine discussion about whether it was all in his head or it was real because of the final line. So this movie, it's a blockbuster, but it also had some smarts, I guess.
It's one of Schwarzenegger's smartest movies. One of Schwarzenegger's smartest movies, you know, because he still gets to go around murdering people. And despite all of the weird shit that's going on, he's, you know what? They establish early on that he likes to sleep and dream about this woman.
Yep.
And then he goes into the recall place and, you know, Harry, you know, don't mess with your brain. You know, you don't play with your brain.
You know, that guy.
Absolutely. The whole thing could be a dream sequence, which they really, in the remake, unfortunately, they really try to hammer it home. You know, like, hey, guess what? Here's a twist from the mind of M. Night Shyamalan. It's probably a dream.
The remake was only made. So that guy, the guy who directed Underworld and the fourth Die Hard, which I really like. What is it? Live Free or Die Hard? I love that one. Len Wiseman. But he was married to Kate Beckinsale. And it's not that Total Recall's not a Colin Farrell or Jessica Biel movie. It's a Kate Beckinsale choose the scenery film. He just gave her the juiciest role. She's far more interesting than anybody else in that movie. And you could tell that Len Wiseman was just like, I'm more interested in her.
Hey, you know, the only difference is, you know, she's not shooting werewolves this time, you know? Hey, let's just get it done.
But, and speaking of, you're talking in the beginning when he was dreaming about, I have her name here, I'm sorry, when he was dreaming about Melina.
Melina.
And Sharon Stone gets all angry at him, and they have that weird fight. Verhoeven was talking about this in the commentary, and he was speaking with Arnold because they're on the commentary together, which thank you very much for recommending that to me, Norbert. And they flew Sharon Stone out to Vegas, and Arnold and her rehearsed this scene in a Vegas hotel room with Paul Verhoeven there.
Oh my God.
That's some weird, right?
No, I was about to say, that's just, hey,
And then he made a joke in the movie. He's like, Sharon didn't want to get, you know, like, you know, she didn't want to expose herself in this film. So he's like, I paid her back on Basic Instinct. And Arnold and him just started laughing. And I'm like, geez, Louise. Exactly.
I was just about to say, you know, with their, both of their history, you know, Arnold has a history of being a little grabby on women. You know, Verhoeven has a little history of just a lot of, DGAF
yep.
about peace. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, so let's me, you, and Sharon go to a hotel room and rehearse the kind of sexy fight. Ooh, hey. Ooh.
Yeah, when they said it perfectly normal, too. I was like, what? Also, I love there's some minor other things in here I loved. I like that they're saying the World Series was in Tokyo, so I thought that was pretty fun. Nice little callback for that. And I love Sharon Stone just keeps kicking him in the nuts. She delivers 3 nut kicks on Arnold in this movie.
I was going to bring that absolutely, like, within seconds of each other. And to his credit, he just kind of eats it, you know?
I love
any one of those, I'm done.
I love the insert shots, too. So they always close up. There's always close-ups of the foot hitting right in that area.
That's right. Yeah, and then you get a quick cut of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Ow, I've been kicked in the balls. Yeah, and then he just powers back up like nothing happened. Whew. Oh my gosh, solid kicks, dude. Solid kicks. She's in her work hard for the money music video clothes, and she's just going to town on his nuts, man. I don't get it. How's he standing?
I did like that tennis simulator that she was using.
You know what? I think that's why everybody bought a Nintendo Wii. Because we wanted to replicate that scene. Perfect form.
And then also, I'm pinballing, but you know me, Norbert. I'm just going to shoot things at you, and then we'll riff from there.
What? Fire them back.
But
let's go.
How stupid was Ironside to shoot out the window in Mars?
You know what? His blind hatred for Hauser, a.k.a. Quaid, having just spent, what, a year and a half just totally giving it to his woman. You know what? He doesn't care about anything. You know, you don't make Ironside angry. You wouldn't like it when he's angry, basically.
And how weak was that guard's grip strength? So everyone's holding on just fine. But then there's one guard that has both hands on a metal rail. And he's like, whoa!
Yeah, can't do it. Can't do it, you know? And here's a little tidbit for you. I think the leader of the military dudes, he was on Deep Space Nine as the main bad guy, the Cardassian. I think his name is Mark Alimo. He's awesome. You do an IMDb on him, man. He's a great character actor as well.
Which one?
I think his name is Mark Alimo, A-L-A-I-M-O. And he's like, open this, you know, Ironside.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, we can't open the door. He just totally brings Gul Dukat.
I love that dude. He backed down Ironside.
Yeah, he did. Gul Dukat, man. You don't mess with the leader of the Cardassian Empire. There it is.
And then, let's see, what else do I have in here? Oh, they also had a Jack in the Box on the planet, which raises the question of how they got meat to the planet.
Oh, here we go again, you know? Here we go again. We have all things that we do bring, but things that we don't. Milk? No. But cows? Yes. Jack in the Box serves everything, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Jack in the Box is questionable food, bro. Questionable food. You know, that and Arby's? Oh, God. You know, if you ever feel a little backed up, eat an Arby's sandwich, man. It's better than a laxative. Jesus Christ. Arby's. Ugh.
This commercial. We're sponsored by Arby's. And then I have another question. I didn't get to look this up, but for years I thought the scene where they have Melina and Quaid and they're putting them back into the recall machines to wipe their minds again to bring back Hauser. Because Cohagen really loves Hauser. They're buds.
Best friend.
And
best friend.
I always thought that there's this movie where this guy pulls his arm out, but there's a spike when he pulls his arm out, and then he stabs it into a guy's... What movie is that?
This is it. Total Recall.
Oh, he does stab him, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
Oh, you're right.
And he's not even a thug. I think it's like a scientist, man.
Yeah, he murders a scientist. Oh, he does do that in this. You're right. My bad.
Yeah. No, that's okay. There have been so many Arnold Schwarzenegger stabbing people in the neck with large weapons movies. Absolutely.
I feel bad for these doctors.
This is the thing. They're just doctors. They're not henchmen. They're just doctors, you know? And he's just murdering them in that scene, man. Doing the classic, you know, looks like it's going to be a DDT, but then he does a neck breaker thing and kills them. He lifts them up in the air. These are doctors. These are not henchmen.
I felt really bad for the 5 guys he killed in that alleyway, too, because they were not prepared for him.
Well, you know, it's a little different there because they're construction workers, you know. So they're out there jackhammering, which, you know, it's the future. You'd think there would be a different way to break up Earth than just dudes and jackhammers.
That's what I was thinking. Why are they?
in the hot sun. Wait, don't we have space travel? There's got to be something better to break the Earth up than a damn jackhammer.
Hey, that, you know what I mean? That analog work, you know, it's good for people.
This is what it is. So he wants Hauser back so badly because he's Ronnie Cox. You know, he's kind of old, even though he's super rich. You think they're still going through Venusville and Mars? Who's the wingman? Hauser or Cohagen? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely. When they're out. Definitely Hauser.
He's, you know, I'm Vilos Cohagen. Yeah, and I'm Hauser. Would you like to see our apartments? We can have Jack in the Box in the Best Western. Yeah.
Also, yeah. His forearms are pure steel, because when he's in that laboratory, he gets hit with a steel bar on his forearm. Nothing.
It just blocks it. It just blocks it. Yeah. Yeah.
That is. Oh, go for it.
Yeah. I was going to say, between that, Sharon Stone gets him in the balls with a high heel also. And he's just like, ouch. Yeah. He's invincible in this movie, man.
I do. The one trope I really hate in action movies that I feel are very unnecessary is when the hero gets shot and he forgets about it a minute later.
Totally.
Like the rundown, he forgets about a bullet wound. In the XXX3, which I like because Donnie Yen and Tony Jaa are in it, but Donnie Yen gets a gut shot and then he forgets about it. You think he dies and then you see him later on just walking around. And,
God.
15 minutes later.
In theory, you can survive a bullet wound to the stomach for hours, but it's incredibly painful and your body is filling up with blood and in the cavity and also just expelling all this extra blood. You can't just get shot in the stomach and you know what? Get your ass to Mars. It's not going to work.
They forgot about it.
Yeah. There are so many of these movies where that happens. But again, this is 1990, so late 80s, early 90s, these guys are supposed to be invincible, you know?
Yeah.
Marion Cobretti, you know, he ate bullets, man. These guys don't care. They don't care.
You know what I learned? Comedians during this time were super invincible, too. So Ace Ventura in 94 caught bullets with his teeth, right?
He stole out from The Last Dragon.
And Austin Powers, he had mojo that could freeze robots to death.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there were a lot of comedians, too, in the 90s who could have joined the Avengers.
Oh, listen, the mojo was apparently like Professor X's telekinesis or something, man. It's just insane, you know, because he's got those awful teeth, you know, and just too much body hair. And he's just able to do incredible things. He wasn't like Inspector Gadget clumsy.
You can steal his mojo, too. So it's like a quantity that you can take.
It's a thing.
Also, I love when I was a kid, I don't know what you thought about this when you saw it in the theater, but when Arnold pulled the hologram and everyone shot at him and Arnold was just dancing. It was Arnold dancing, pretending to get. So he's hanging out and he's doing this dance. And that was a fun moment. And why did the guards not shoot each other? Because they're in a circle shooting at each other through a hologram.
You think this is Quaid? You're wrong. You know, even his laughter, ha 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 ha, and it has an accent. I love this man. I love this man.
You can tell he loved making this movie, and he supported Verhoeven. I've always felt like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think he can definitely pick his directors, but movies like Last Action Hero, True Lies, I think he does, if he trusts a director, I think he's open to whatever they have for him.
Yeah, he goes all in, man. These are pretty high concept movies that he was making. For what it's worth.
Yeah, and I like that he tried different things. You could see that Arnold wasn't content being, you know, the Austrian Oak. He definitely wanted to expand his roles.
Yeah. The thing you appreciate about him is, for all the jokes that we had growing up as kids, you know, oh, this guy's accent is hilarious. A lot of good acting comes from the eyes. And his eyes are never dead. You know what I mean? When he delivers a line, he looks like he means it, man. His face is very expressive for all the muscles, you know? He's actually a good actor. I'm not saying, you know, he deserves an Oscar or whatever, but, I mean, he put the work in, and he delivers great performances. Accent or not, you just want to laugh at his accent. You can be a jerk like that, but he's good. Maggie, the zombie flick.
Oh, yeah. Dude, he's so good.
Dude, I was really surprised, man. You feel for him, you know? And he still gets to do the classic DDT neckbreaker move. Murder, but this time it's with pathos.
With pathos. I'm really happy that they didn't. They originally wanted to make it like a Raiders of the Lost Ark goes to Mars, and I'm happy they didn't do that.
Yeah,
I love this movie. I love the visual effects when he takes off that lady's head when it freezes the X-ray machine. For 90, this movie was really advanced as far as visual effects.
Well, again, man, it goes back to Rob Bottin. You know, there's always the weird in every Rob Bottin movie. There's always a scene where the head looks fake as hell. And today that would have just been CGI something. But even those scenes, it doesn't break your feeling that you're immersed in the film. You know, the suspension of disbelief. RoboCop, you know, when they put the coup de grace on Alex Murphy. And at least if you get the uncensored version, when they just blow his brains out, you know. The head looks kind of weird, but by that time you're so horrified because they've shot him 1,500 times, it doesn't matter. And then takes off the head thing. Head looks kind of weird. Still awesome because Bottin, man.
Yeah, this movie. I found a really cool article on AV Club, and I still want to read you an excerpt. He wrote, "This was strange and heavy stuff, especially for 1990, and it's a measure of Verhoeven's virtuosity that he was able to pull all this off while still making sure the movie worked as a gleefully nasty mainstream entertainment. His pacing is impeccable. Plot twists arrive right on time, Benny. And someone has to deliver a big dump. And when someone has to deliver a big dump of expository dialogue, it always happens in some sort of dazzling, weird way. Like, for instance, Schwarzenegger's past self talking to him on a video screen, or the mutant leader Quato, a tiny, slimy, deformed person growing out of another person's belly, telling Schwarzenegger what he needs to know before imploring him again and again to open your mind. The movie even drops the idea of ancient Martian technology on you and expects you just to accept it and keep moving. And because this movie is so fucking fun, you just go with it."
This is the truth, man. When you start to see that creepy hand and suddenly, mind blown, aliens exist on Mars. Holy wow. Just wow. The Tribinium, actually, the Martians, wow. It's amazing.
And then he puts his hand in there, then all the air comes out and saves everybody. You know, I think when I first watched this movie, I was probably 10. And I saw it late at night, and I was kind of tired, because whatever. I still watched the whole thing, of course. But it all felt like a fever dream of weird, just a weird experience for me, right? And I think that's, I don't know. I like what that guy said about it was gleefully nasty mainstream entertainment. And Schwarzenegger was down for it, and I love that.
Well, the thing about it is, the 80s, the late 80s going into the 90s, great time for sci-fi / horror, you know, beyond the Friday the 13th and all of that stuff. People were really rolling the dice, taking chances, you know. What's a creative sci-fi film that's come out recently that's not just been a ripoff of The Matrix or just taking design cues from Aliens, you know what I mean?
Oh, so what we're saying, this like movie, a big budget, like big budget, right? Like a big budget.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because I think this movie cost like $68 million to make or something at the time.
Yep.
And there are still times it looks kind of cheesy, but it's who's doing that? You know, what was it, Valerian and the ancient taco?
I actually really enjoyed that because the movie is, what, $200, $150 million movies and everything was on the screen. So
yeah, it was.
I dug that. You know, Edge of Tomorrow really rips off Groundhog Day, but I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, but none of them was based on a manga, yeah.
But none. Good. Oh, yeah, you're right. But I guess none of them play as ambitious. How's that for a term?
No, basically, because this movie, look, once he's done with his construction work and goes into recall, the movie just takes off, man. It's just balls to the wall. Who can you trust? Oh, by the way, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to murder somebody with his bare hands shortly, so relax. It's an amazing movie. Amazing.
Yeah, it made, what, 261 million in absolutely. 90. So I mean, adjust for inflation, you're talking 350, 400, something like that. I mean, that's a superhero movie.
Just a joke.
It was interesting how 90s were so actor led, if that makes sense. So you had go see the latest Julia Roberts picture that makes 400 million. Go see the Will Smith movie, Adam Sandler movie, Jim Carrey movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Sylvester Stallone movie, Tom Cruise movie.
And, you know, and to the credit of people, you know, that doesn't work anymore because we would have so many Jai Courtney movies, and thank God we don't, you know.
Well, you're firing shots today. Denise Richards, Jai Courtney.
Look, man, There was a little mini internet movement of stop trying to make Jai Courtney a thing, and I was all about it, man. You know, the other guy, Charlie Hunnam.
He is in Lost City of Z. It's a James Gray directed movie with Robert Pattinson, who's also very good in it, and Tom Holland, the latest Spider-Man. And it's a very contemplative, beautiful to look at, sumptuous film. And if you watch that, you'll see Charlie Hunnam's got it, because it's a really he lost a lot of weight. He went different for it, at least. So I'll give him credit. I won't lump him in with that one.
So he went full Leto, Jared Leto, in this movie, Lost City of Z. He's all method.
No, but he doesn't look like. So I feel like when Jared Leto even goes method, I still feel like he's acting. Like method acting is supposed to be immersive, but this one, I don't know. It was good, but I also think James Gray is a very good director, so I think he got the best out of him in there. But
I feel like Pacific Rim is a $1 billion movie if Charlie Hunnam is not the star.
Yeah, but I feel like. Well, I know I have a theory that Guillermo del Toro just wrote, because he was supposed to make Mouth of Madness, and then that got taken away from him at the last minute. And so I think he just hammered out Pacific Rim overnight, then fell asleep on the computer and his head typed out the rest. And then he just said to the studio, who was feeling bad, Robots vs. Monsters, and they're like, yes. And then he had 5,000 page binders on the rust on robots, but he didn't focus anything on the characters.
That's right, because that's not the point, man. I want robots fighting monsters,
and they delivered. But the characters in Pacific Rim are very. And I always wonder why they just didn't put like mesh over that one hole, because they're just coming from one place. But never mind.
That's another podcast. I agree.
but this movie, I think it explains a lot. It makes a lot of the choices. Even the guy from Recall, who's in the commercial talking about Recall, shows up in Quaid's apartment saying that you're stuck in your head. So this movie, it's smart. I mean, even at the end, Paul Verhoeven says, I just wanted it to be very kind of postmodern. I didn't want to clarify anything. I shouldn't, like this, there's no true, this is not true. I want, what do you think?
And that is the thing. Because we said earlier, you know, that there were a lot of dumb movies that came out at this time. And they were all just about blowing things up and killing people. But the CGI wasn't there yet. But this movie definitely rolls the dice, and there are a lot of twists, but they're not Shyamalan twists where, okay, that's weird. They perfectly fit character motivations, and everything are there, man. It is great.
Yeah, Benny's classic. I felt betrayed when Benny killed Quato.
Yeah, because Benny, you look at Benny, and Benny is not a rich guy.
Yep.
You know, the teeth are all jacked up. You know what I'm saying? That vest needed a wash. You know, how can you be a bad guy, Benny? You got 5 or 6 kids to feed.
Who need to go to the dentist?
You know, they're clearly not listening when you tell them to brush twice after every meal.
Well, hey, anything else you want to cover on this movie?
Man, look, while we've been talking about it, I've had it playing in silent in the background, and here comes Quato, man, and it's gross. It is amazing.
It's so
good. God, it is gross.
It's so juicy.
Ugh. Oh, he's just moist. That's the word. Moist. Ugh. Oh, God. Quaid, open your mind. Oh, my God. His cornea is, like, purple. What is happening? Oh, well, Jesus. Well,
they do think he's George Washington.
It makes so much sense. Oh, brother, man. Total Recall is amazing. Now, absolutely.
I'm so happy you suggested this, because you said the commentary, and I'm a big commentary guy, so I had to listen to it. So this was fun. Our next one, we're talking about Demon Knight. I really want to talk about Demon Knight. So we're doing Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight. Sadler.
That's right.
Pinkett.
That's right.
Zane.
And Phil. Hey, man, not shot. Oh, yeah.
I'm a little worried, though, because I haven't watched it in a while, and I love the scene where Thomas Hayden Church spits on the creatures and they yell at him and his hair blows back.
Yes. Yes.
I remember really liking that scene.
Please believe me, the movie holds up as a horror movie, and it's got the little 90s touches in it, man. I'm not going to blow it for you. I know you've already seen it, but I'm telling you, the movie holds up, brother.
Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be good. So, hey. This was fun, man. So for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, for Norbert Morvan, this is Movies, Films, and Flicks. Wait, I need a Keith David quote to send us out.
For Mark Hoffmeyer, Norbert Morvan, this is Keith David. movies, films, and flicks, goddammit.